Amen. He is worthy indeed. I want to welcome everybody who is here with us this morning in person. I want to welcome those who are on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on YouTube, on Facebook, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe there, follow us. Do all those things. Comment there especially. Share it with your friends. That helps to get the word out with all their algorithms and such. And then also don't forget our phone live streaming. If you need that number, I'll be glad to give you that number after the service, if you'll just see me after the service for that. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming service. Also. Also, want to encourage you, if you're at home and have access to the church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin, so be sure to get that downloaded. If you need these in person, they're in the windowsills as well as at the doors where you came in this morning. Be sure to grab one of those. Lots of upcoming activities. We want you to be aware of everything. Newsletters will go out later this week, and so you'll have that information also for the month of May. Also, under that info tab is the download for the children's worship bulletins. There's one for ages 3 and up and one for ages 7 and up over here in the windowsill if you want to pick those up for your kids. Children's Church will be dismissing in just a little while. Brother Mike will let you know when that's going to be. And then also under the info tab, you can download the prayer list there. Encourage you to do that as we're continuing to pray for many people on that list. I want to encourage you to be praying for those individuals. If you're a guest with us this morning, or you brought a guest with you this morning, we want to encourage you to pick up one of the gift bags that are on the sides of the stage or at the doors as you came in. Our ushers will be glad to give one of those to you. It's got some information about our church that we want to share with you. It's got some gifts in it that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So welcome this morning. Glad to have everybody who's here in person. We'll have some more announcements in just a little while later. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Oh. Acts 10:44 says, "The Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message." That's our prayer for each this morning as we go into this service. If you would stand and let's sing "Spirit of the Living God" as that prayer.
Spirit of the living God, fall, friend. bulletins, you'll notice that we're at our time for our missionary moment. We have our missionaries in your bulletin that we want to encourage you to read their story. The Brooks, who are serving the South Asian peoples, they have a wonderful story there and have some special needs to be praying for there, as well as underneath that is our Moldova missionaries. But this morning, we've got, ever so often, we want to bring some of our ministry and mission partners in that we support through our church to put a face to the ministry, to share about what God is doing through those ministries. And this morning we have FCA. Brother Bruce Gifford is going to come and share with us here in just a moment. But before he does, we're going to show this video, if you will, so that you can get a little insight of what some of the things are, and then he'll come and share right after that.
They think that I'm all by myself in this fight, but they do not know the infinite size of the God who is by my side. Hey, on the fire, but my Goliath.
Is a big God, and I guess gotta say thank you guys at Holland so much. You know, I was gonna use the words of Paul, but I have to cut his verse just a little bit short, so you'll bear with me. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Jesus Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finished and on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a special place in my heart. Now I'm gonna stop right there because Paul's in prison and I'm not in prison. So we're going, but I'm gonna tell you something. You guys do have a special place in my heart, and I can't thank you guys enough for being such great partners with the ministry of FCA. You know, we get the chance to do some awesome stuff. You know, I got to thinking about some things we do now with FCA as a global mission now. FCA represents 115 countries. And you know, last year, 2024, 53,158 faith decisions was made because of the ministry of FCA, because of people like you guys pouring into a ministry. That's, I believe that deserves a big hand clap. Last year, we had 1,058 camps. And to put that in a little bit more perspective, 114,548 campers. This is why y'all seen the pictures of the Bibles last year. Now, not in our area, but in our area, as far as a ministry, 219,444 Bibles were distributed in FCA across the world. 93,614 people were reached through what we call a Fields of Faith. Those are some big, astounding numbers. But I want to talk to you about this seat right here where nobody's sitting. Some names that I can't mention this morning, but some people that you guys personally ministered to through the ministry of FCA. A young man that I was visiting with their team one day. Well, I actually seen him in the hallway, and I said, I'm going to Winchester, and he said, well, my mom's down there. And I'm like, well, she lives there? And he said, no, she's been in and out of jail since I've been 8 years old. And thank God that he put us in a place to be able to stand alongside that guy. Great young man, sharing the gospel in his school. A young lady that had a smile on her face maybe 1 minute, but 1 minute you see her with tears in her eyes because she's paying for college by herself. She just had an accident. Lo and behold, she said, my car's making a racket, and she didn't have any oil in her car. And to be able to walk alongside those guys and minister to those folks. A student that, yes, may be celebrating a state championship, but also walking alongside a coach that's battling cancer, or walking alongside other challenges that our athletes and our students are having. And I can't thank you guys enough for putting people in places. In this area, you may have seen some pictures of you. You may have seen some pictures of your school. And man, I'm so blessed to have administration in the congregation today that helps make FCA possible in our schools. Man, every time we go, you go. And believe me, you want to send some people to the places that I go. You don't want to go there, because a locker room a lot of times is a stinky place to be, especially as when we come into summer ball and stuff like that. But I can't say this enough. I just want to thank you guys over and above, because we can't minister. We can't minister to those 53,158 people that made a faith decision last year without you guys. We can't minister to that person that's sitting in that chair that's in a huddle within driving distance of this church. Elk River FCA is what they call my area, and it's Lincoln, Coffee, Moore, Grundy, and Franklin counties. I don't know what they're trying to do to me in there, because there's so many rivalries inside there that, you know, I've learned, I tell our state staff when we have training, you don't say Tullahoma and you don't say Coffee County in the same sentence, because that don't work too well. But I'm so proud to know that we're all serving the same Jesus. We're all serving the same God. And we're all just trying to be able to witness to those people. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for continually supporting this ministry. Guys, throw a shout out to Coach Thames. I want to say a special thank you to Coach Thames, because, man, he rocks North FCA out. And North may be my biggest middle school huddle that I have, and Coach Thames probably beginning of the year upward of north of 160 people, right, starting off the year. So you guys are pouring into those. Thank you to Matt Kohler for serving as one of my character coaches that reaches out. Y'all seen him sharing. You guys shared with Motlow basketball this year. You shared a meal with those guys, and wow, the opportunity, the foreign mission that's just right down the road. Now, I need to hurry up and get out of here before I run into time, but I didn't realize that Motlow College, just right down the road, there's a kid from Spain. There's a kid from the Bahamas. And I thought these were just kids just from, you know, Winchester, Tullahoma, Shelbyville. But we have an opportunity for foreign missions just right down the road. And that's the ministry that we get to do together. If I could say it once, I could say it 1,000 times. I just want to thank you guys so much for allowing us to be able to minister the way we do. I pray for growth, that we'd be able to grow. We do serve 5 counties. That's a large area. And we would love for God to grow our budget so we can be able to serve more effectively and be able to do more. Not because we're looking to look big, but we serve a big God that can do big things with our hands. Thank you so much. You guys be blessed.
Come over here. You know, we have to prayer for our missionaries, and we want you to remember the West family as they're serving the South Asian peoples, but we also want to remember our FCA ministry. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and praying for Bruce and that ministry. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for who you are and for all you allow us to be a part of in your kingdom work, whether it's North American missions or international missions like the West family is involved in. But Lord, we also want to uplift ministries that we support, like the FCA ministry that Bruce is leading through this. And Father, we know this is a stretched out area that he's ministering to and so many kids and so many schools. Lord, I just pray that you will continue, Lord, to increase the field there and continue to increase the harvest of souls being reached, Lord, with the gospel. Raise up, Lord, good, godly young men and women through this FCA ministry. And Father, many of those who are there reaching out to who don't know Christ, I pray, God, that you will use the gospel to bring them to faith in Christ. So we ask your blessings on the FCA, especially the Elk River FCA, and ask God that you will bless them, provide for their every need. Lord, bless us that we can continue to be a blessing to them, and we just ask God that you'll be with them each and every day. We know school's ending, Lord, but as school ends and another year begins in September, we just pray, in August, we pray, God, that you'll just bless our FCA programs in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bruce.
Right. Yes. Well, let me just share a couple of other quick things with you. If you're at home especially, you can do your online giving there at home. I want to encourage you to go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com, go to the far right-hand side. You can click that Give Online tab, do your online giving there. One-time gift, recurring gift. You can do that from here in person, as well as the offering envelopes are there in front of you. There's a couple of other things. Next Sunday is a special Sunday for us. It's going to be the first of 3 services for our 75th anniversary for our church. The first one is going to be May the 4th. The second one is going to be July the 27th, and the last one will be September the 28th. That's going to be the big one, and so we want to encourage you to save the date for that. We have some cards that are down here in front of the pulpit. I want to encourage you to get these cards, hand them out to people. You can put them in another envelope to mail them to people. You can't mail them as they are because they won't go through their machines with the post office there, but want to encourage you to just pick up one yourself so you can remember those dates, unless you've already gotten one of these at home. So next Sunday, Brother Don Dixon is going to be here to lead us in the service with the message. And then later that afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to be having a big fish fry. So we want to encourage you to come for that. It's going to be a wonderful time of celebration as we begin our celebration for our 75th anniversary. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Take your hymnals or join us with the video on the screens, and let's sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit, hymn 243.
And
Children's Church will be gathering over here on the piano side as we sing this next song. And if you would, stand with us as we sing hymn number 192, Soon and Very Soon.
Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Kings chapter 1 through 15. We're actually just going to look at verse 1 down through verse 8. You'll notice the big heading there for our title is Honor the Past, Embrace the Future. That is our theme for our 75th anniversary, and each Sunday before our special services, I'm going to be bringing us back here to 2 Kings and 1 Kings, actually, also looking at this story with Elijah as we press towards the future. I've entitled the message this morning, Don't Forget to Remember. Just a couple of quick things before I forget about next Sunday. You're going to notice some videos on the screens out in the hallways. There's a TV out there, a TV out here, one down by the fellowship hall if you've never seen them. There's going to be a video that's going to be running there that's from about back in 2000 that Marilyn McClendon made when they had the 50th anniversary, and so there's that that's going to be playing. We have a special video that we're putting together that's going to be shared in here. There's going to be back there or somewhere, there's a display that's back there today. It's portable that we can move it around wherever. It's going to have pictures on it from the past. We want you to take the time to watch those videos, to look at those pictures, peruse through them. We want you to see the history of this church, to see what God has done in and through our church here. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 8, would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he said, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord is going to take away your master from over you? And he answered, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Verse 7, 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on the dry ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, this passage and this message would be a blessing to each and every person here, especially, Lord, to those who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. If they're here or watching online, I pray, God, they will hear the gospel message that you love them, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for them, and that you have made a way for them to be made right with you by salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for what we just celebrated this past Sunday of Easter and resurrection, but Lord, every Sunday we celebrate that. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to be filled with joy as believers in our hearts, knowing, Lord, that no matter what the past has brought our way, no matter what we're going through in the present right now, you have a plan and a purpose for our future. And we pray, God, that as individuals we would seek that, as a church we would seek your will. And Father, we want to bring glory and honor to you in this message this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, our primetimers have heard some of this before, but they've not heard this whole message. I couldn't get this whole message in at primetimers. I would have lost them. But I wanted to share with you this parts of what I shared with them at our last primetimers meeting, as well as to share with you some more that goes along with this passage. So just to begin here, there was a young preacher who was going to preach his very first sermon. And he wanted to have this smashing introduction, so he went to this older pastor that he knew, and he said, "Do you know of any surefire introductions that's guaranteed to get everybody's attention?" Well, this old preacher, he said, "As a matter of fact, I've got an illustration. It works every single time." He said, "Okay, tell me it. Tell me what it is." He said, "When you walk into the pulpit," he said, "here's the statement that you need to make. Some of the greatest days of my life I spent in the arms of another man's wife." And he said, "Wait for a moment and then say, 'my mother.'" And he said, "Now don't forget to pause before you say 'my mother.'" And he said, "Also, don't forget to tell your wife what you're going to do." Well, that fateful Sunday arrived, and as this young, inexperienced preacher walked into the pulpit, he had two problems. First of all, he was extremely nervous. Secondly, he had forgotten to tell his wife what he was about to do. So he cleared his throat. He reared back and he said, "Some of the greatest days of my life I spent in the arms of another man's wife." Well, he waited for a moment. And his wife, who happened to be a hot-tempered lady, she got up out of her seat and she stormed out of the sanctuary. That so unnerved him, he stammered and he stuttered and he said, "And for the life of me, I can't remember who she was." It pays to remember. So to forget to remember can be very costly. It has been wisely said that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. We're not to live in the past, we're not to stay in the past, but we are to look to the past, to learn from the past, so that we don't lose our focus in the present, and so we don't have lack for the future. God tells us all throughout His Word, don't forget to remember. And there are some lessons that we want to learn this morning from what happened yesterday, from what we will enjoy today, and that will help us to have a secure tomorrow. The Bible has a lot to say about remembering. Now, this may be Bible overload for some of you, but I want you to see that all throughout the Bible, God tells us we ought to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 6 at verse 12 says, Then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says, And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Psalm 77, verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord, the psalmist says. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits or all his blessings." Psalm 119, verse 55 says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands." Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." Isaiah 46 and verse 9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on her, the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it says, In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, it says, "Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you." 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24 says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it," Paul explaining about the Lord's Supper, "and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." John's gospel in John 14 and verse 26, when Jesus was getting ready to ascend, he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." In Luke 22 and verse 19, when Jesus did break the bread, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will teach you." So here's the sad truth about the nation of Israel. All through the Old Testament, they were told to remember God, remember his works, don't forget God. And yet the nation of Israel forgot. In fact, there are two great chapters in the scriptures that tell us over and over that they forgot. Psalm 106, verse 7, 13, and 21. Verse 7 says, "Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea." Verse 13 goes on to say, "But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel." Verse 21 goes on and says, "They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt." Psalm 78 is that other chapter in Psalms. Psalm 78, verse 5 says, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach our children," just like we're to do. We're to teach the Word of God to our children and to their children, to the children that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and what? Not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. But verse 11 says, "They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them." Now, they did remember sometimes, but look at what it cost them in verse 33. "So he made their days vanish like a breath and their years in terror. When he killed them, they sought him." That's when they did remember him. They repented and sought God. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. "But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant." And verse 42 goes on to say, "They did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe." Over and over and over and over, it tells us that because they forgot, they turned away from God. And over, it says in the same chapters that even though they forgot, God never forgot. God always remembered them. You know, so often we want the Lord to remember us. When we're in trouble, when we're going through a trial or a tribulation, Lord, remember me. Don't forget about me. Don't forget what I'm going through. We want Him to remember us, but so often we forget Him. Psalm 105, verse 5 says, "Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and His judgments He uttered." You know, it's hard to believe that this church is 75 years since we've had our first service. So much has happened. So many lives have changed. You know, anniversaries are a big deal, or at least they should be. As humans, we're wired to celebrate and to remember. And Paul even talked about the discipline of looking back and learning from the past in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 through verse 6. He said, "For whatever was written in the past in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures that we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When we look back to learn. We look back for endurance. We look back for encouragement so that we can look forward with unity and hope, not to stay there in the past. You know, so often we take pictures. We have less and less of the old-fashioned picture albums. I have a bunch of them that my grandmother passed on to us of when we were little and all of our families and stuff, and trying to remember who everybody is. Unless she wrote it on the back, I don't know who they are. But we take pictures to remember those kinds of things. We collect souvenirs to remember things. We establish traditions that remind ourselves of special relationships and events in our lives. Because let's be honest, some days we need to be reminded of just how much we love our spouses, just how much we love our families. And we ought to do the same thing with our church. You know, just like thumbing through those wedding photos can help you to look back and see how far our marriages have come. I was tempted to put one of our wedding photos, but I knew better. But when you look back, as spiritually, you look back at your walk with Jesus, it can help us to see His faithfulness, His provision in ways that you didn't recognize when you were going through the day-to-day. We ought to look back and recall everything that God has done and to use that to find the courage to face the future. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, they built monuments to remember. They established traditions to help them remember God's power and God's faithfulness. And we also ought to keep a record of God's work in our lives. You know, just like keeping a journal of what you're learning in the Bible, memorizing meaningful verses and sharing your story. All of those are ways that you can draw strength for the future from what God has done in the past. And the same is true not only for you as an individual, but also for us as a church. Sometimes we get so caught up with what's happening today that you can't really see how far you've come from. And that's what all this celebration, this anniversary is about. It's not about us. It's not about an individual. It's not about even former pastors, although we'll be celebrating those. It's about celebrating what God has done. It's about uplifting the name of Jesus Christ. And so if we collect those snapshots of God's faithfulness along the way, when those troubles and when those doubts threaten to overwhelm us, you can look back on those moments and you can step bravely into the future. So with our 75th anniversary this year, I want to challenge us to celebrate our church's anniversary in a way that honors God, that looks to the past to encourage our church for the future. That's our theme that I gave you earlier, honoring the past, embracing the future. It ought to be a time of celebration. Parties are fun, and that's what we're going to be doing. Think about the Old Testament. They had festivals, they had holidays, and when the church celebrates together, life is more fun. And so celebration can help even the health of our church. And so a celebration of our anniversary ought to reinforce who we are as a church to our members and to the community. There's a lot of people who are here today who you weren't here in the beginning. You weren't here in the first 25 years, much less the first 50 years. And you need to know where this church has come from, what God has done in this church to encourage you as you become a part of this church. You know, we ought to tell the stories of the people who have sacrificed and served and of the ministry that the church has accomplished. And when we do that, It ought to show and teach others about what we as believers value. So celebrating our 75th anniversary, I hope, will spark momentum as it gets us to be reignited when we see that we are standing on the shoulders of saints and warriors who have gone before us, and that we would want to take their place in that legacy, and that we would want to see that our ministry can make a difference. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2 is such a great picture of that. You read Hebrews chapter 11, it's the great hall of faith, but then the writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the protector of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." We are standing here today on the shoulders of saints and those who have gone before us. And so our hope is that as people realize that, then they would have this newfound energy for their own place in ministry, that you would gain a new enthusiasm for what the church can accomplish. And when we celebrate the past, know that it's easier to believe in a brighter future. You know, when we think about vision in the context of what God has already done, it's kind of like taking rocket boosters and mounting them on that vision. When people are thinking about what God has done, it's easy to imagine what God can do in the future. And so the goal of this celebration is to give God the glory for what he has done among us, that it would build a memory and that it would celebrate his servants. And that's why that theme is honoring the past, embracing the future. We've told you about those dates before. May the 4th, next Sunday, July 27th, and September 28th. Mark those on your calendar. Because remembering the past is important for our growth. When you think about Elijah, he's coming to the end of his ministry here in 2 Kings chapter 2. He's almost about to be carried off to heaven. And it seems like it's the last days of Elijah's life, in these last days, that memories begin to well up in his heart. It seems like these precious memories begin to flow through his heart. You know, memories are important. Memories can be very special. They can be very helpful. They can be very meaningful to us. Many times in the Bible, as we've said, the Bible says, forget not. We're not to forget our past. We're not to lose those memories. Sometimes, if you'll study the book of Deuteronomy, about 14 times in that book, it tells us to remember. So it's important to remember. In 2 Kings 2, 1 through 6 here, what we see is Elijah's been thinking about all this. He knows that it's fixing to happen. He knows that the Lord is fixing to take him up into the heavens. In fact, there's two different occasions we read right here that the sons of the prophets come to Elisha and say, "Don't you know today's the day? Today's the day it's going to happen." So Elijah is thinking things in his mind as he's knowing this is the last days, and he takes Elisha around with him to show him some of those memories that are coming into his heart and his mind. The most important thing that Elijah wanted to help Elisha remember, and that we ought to remember about, is God's power. That's the first point we ought to have this morning, is to remember God's power. God's power is vital for our future victories. Here's Elijah, who's taking this young man, Elisha, to some specific places, and he remembers God's power. These places were where God had demonstrated his power in the past, in the past history of Israel. You know, we need to do that. We need to remember the past. Somebody said that the past is not intended to be an anchor that holds us back, but rather it's to be a rudder that guides us forward. The past is not to be a parking lot where we stay. It's to be a launching pad where we thrust into the future. So notice the specific places mentioned in this chapter where Elijah takes Elisha. In verse 1, he goes to Gilgal. In verse 2, they go to Bethel. In verse 4, they go to Jericho. In verse 6, they go to Jordan. And keep in mind, very shortly, Elijah is going to heaven. In fact, verse 1 tells us how he's going to heaven. It says that the Lord is going to take Elijah into the heavens by a whirlwind. That means Elijah is going to heaven without dying. There's only one other man in the Bible who went to heaven without dying, and that was Enoch. That's right. In Genesis chapter 5, the Bible says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He went to heaven without dying. So Elijah is going to go to heaven in a storm, in a whirlwind, and he's not going to die either. What God did for Enoch and Elijah in the Old Testament, understand this, God is going to do for a whole generation of believers one of these days. In fact, we say with John, as he does in Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Whether it's by the resurrection or whether it's by the rapture, either way, the Bible says we ought to be living and working towards that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's this man Elijah who's getting ready to be taken up. He's passing the mantle of ministry to this young man, Elisha, and he's going to take him on a little journey down memory lane, if you will, and show him some of the places where God has shown his power. Now, notice the first place that they came to. The first thing that we need to remember about God's power, we need to remember the place of beginning. The place of beginning. Notice again in verse 1. Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. So they'd been at Gilgal. This is the first place that they had come to. It's the place of beginning. Where is Gilgal, and what is the significance of Gilgal? Well, Gilgal is the place that when the children of Israel crossed the river Jordan to come into the promised land, that is the first place that they set up camp, their first campground, if you will. It was the place of beginning as they went into the promised land. So when we think about that, we ought to remember the place of beginning. The place of beginning for us individually, spiritually. Do you remember your place of beginning? Do you remember where you met the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't met the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you and implore you to trust in Him as Lord and Savior this morning. I met the Lord in my grandmother's trailer. I professed my faith in a small country church called Highland Missionary Baptist Church in North Florida. I was baptized in Kingsley Lake. All you have to do is mention any of those places, and it takes me back to my beginnings. We ought never to get over the place we first began to know Jesus as our Savior. And as a church, we ought never to get over the beginning of where this church started and why this church started and what the purpose of this church starting was all about. It was to share the gospel with this community as it began in the early 1950s there. In verse 2, Elijah says to Elisha, I'm going to Bethel. You stay here. You just stay right here. And Elisha refuses to do it. He says, as the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you. He knows that this is the last day for Elijah. They're close. They love one another. You know, when you love, when somebody you love is dying and it's a painful experience for you, you cherish every moment of the time. And Elisha is cherishing every moment of Elijah. You want to be with that person as much as you can. And so basically, Elisha, he's not going to leave Elijah at any point. He's sticking with him. He's not going to miss anything. And they go from Gilgal, the place of beginning, down to Bethel in verse 2. So what do we learn about God's power in verse 2? Notice again, Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. What's the significance of Bethel? Bethel is the place of returning. It's the place of returning. Because remember, all throughout the Old Testament, it was the place where Jacob had had an experience with God, and he called it Bethel, which means the house of God. And down through the years of Jacob's life, as Jacob wandered away from the Lord would continually speak to him and tell him, Jacob, arise and go back to Bethel. Go back to the place you met me at. It's the place of returning. Some of us who are here this morning, you have that relationship with the Lord, but you've drifted far away from Him, and you may need to come back to Bethel. You may need to return to the Lord. You may need to come back to that close place of fellowship that you once knew with the Lord, that place where you were in His Word. You need to come back to that place maybe where you were praying and you had that relationship with Him, where you talked with Him. You know, sin interferes with our prayer. The Bible says if we hold on to iniquity, hold on to sin in our heart, we don't deal with sin, God will not hear from heaven. And so we need to come back to that place where you were once walking with the Lord. Then in verse 3, the sons of the prophets, they come into the story. And what do we learn about the power of God in this verse? And notice in verse 3, it says, "And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came to Elisha and said to him," we got some inside information, Elisha. Let me tell you what this is. Don't you know your master's going to leave today? Did you know that today the Lord is going to take away your master from over you? And he said, "Yes, I know that. Keep quiet." So here were these young, if you might call them preacher boys, if you will. God was raising up another generation of spiritual leaders to continue the work. And so what we need to remember in verse 3 is we need to remember the next generation. Because it seems like Samuel had established a series of preacher schools, if you will, prophet schools, these sons of the prophets. They were young, aspiring preachers. They were trained there. And Elijah would evidently go to these schools and he would teach them God's word. And so here are these sons of the prophets. Here's what we need to remember this morning, that it's important that young people, and especially young people starting off in ministry, get started off right. I thank God for the mentors that I had, the great men of God who helped me to get started in the right direction. It's so important that we help the young people get started in the right direction. There's so much bad stuff out there today, and it can throw people, young people off, especially when they go off to college. They need to hear the good stuff, the right stuff. These are the sons of the prophets. And as we said, they seem to have this little inside information that they think they want to show it off. And they said, "Do you know this, Elijah?" And Elisha says, "I know it. Hold your peace." You know, there are some moments that are just too sacred to speak. But we need to remember the next generation. They move from there in verse 4. They go down to Jericho. And Elisha is right there with them. What do we learn in Jericho about God's power? Notice verse 4, "Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho." Jericho is the place of overcoming, the place of overcoming. It was at Jericho where God gave the children of Israel a great victory. And as they learned to obey God's word, remember they marched around that city of Jericho those many times, and then on that last day that they marched, they blew the trumpets and the walls came tumbling down. God showed his great power because they obeyed God's word, and in obedience to God's word, they walked around those walls, and at the right moment when those trumpets sounded, the walls came tumbling down. You learn here the power to overcome. We need to learn ourselves God's power to overcome the battles in life. One of those ways is remembering God's faithfulness through the past. Because I guarantee you, as you look back over these last 75 years, and as you'll see in the pictures, you'll hear in the stories that'll be shared, there were tough times in the history of this church. There were tough times in your lives. There were tough times in the peoples who make up this church's lives. And yet, God has helped us to overcome each and every one of those obstacles that were placed in our way, and God's power helped us to overcome the battles of life. We need to learn that our Jerichos in life can be conquered. So again, in verse 5, the sons of the prophets come. And notice what they say in verse 5. Basically the same thing they said before. These were some that were there in Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." So it's not like Elisha doesn't know this. He doesn't need to keep being reminded of that particular thing. But he says, "Yes, I know it already." Then notice that in verse 6, we need to also remember the place of entering. The place of entering. So Elijah said to him, to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. They came to the Jordan. Now, what was the importance about the Jordan River to show us God's power? Well, the Jordan River was the place of the entering. God parted the Jordan River to let the children of Israel enter into the promised land. We need to remember that God can part the waters for us, especially as we enter into the unknown, into the future. You may be facing in your own life an impossible stream. But there's a little chorus that goes, have you got any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Have you got any mountains that you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things that we think are impossible. He can make a way that no other can do. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. So don't forget the Jordan River experiences in your life where you were up against the river, you were up against the great sea, and you wondered, how in the world am I going to make it through this situation? And yet, God was faithful. He parted the waters. So don't forget the Jordan River experience in your life. Let me ask you that. Has God parted the water in your life? Have there been those experiences in your life when you have faced those seemingly insurmountable problems and God just parted the waters? Not when you expected, but maybe at the last moment. Throughout the history of this church, we've seen God part the waters in this church. We've seen God's miracles at work in this church. And what a picture that day. Here's Elijah. It's his last day on this earth. But what's he doing? He's taking a young prophet, a young preacher, Elisha, and he's taking him around and he's showing him these places and he's showing him God's power. He's remembering God's power. Let me ask you this. What would you be doing if you knew it was your last day on this earth? What would you be doing? Would you be doing something for the Lord? God is getting ready to take you, and God is getting ready to take this church to places we've never been to. And for some of us here, just like for some in the past, the mantle of ministry is going to be passed on to the next generation. We need to remember, that next generation needs to remember where we've come from to help them to go where God wants them to go in the future. That was the downfall of the nation of Israel. The people who experienced those wilderness wanderings, who experienced the miracles of God, who saw the Red Sea parted, the Jordan River parted for them to go across, they remembered God. But that next generation, they didn't remember. And then the third generation, they just totally forgot about God. You can read about that all throughout the scripture. So we need to make sure we're instilling in the next generation where we've come from to help them to go where God wants us to go. So remember God's promises to us. Remember God's providence over us. Remember that behind every promise of God is the providence of God. You know what that word providence means? It comes from two words. It's the word pro, which means before, and the word video in our English, meaning to see. Providence. Providence simply means to see beforehand, to provide for what is seen. So do you hear that word provide in the word providence? The providence of God simply means that God sees every event before it occurs, and He provides for that event, and He makes sure that it fits into His plan for your life and in the life of this church. Did you know that there are no accidents in the life of a child of God? Just appointments. So often, disappointments are really His appointments. So remember the providence of God. And finally, remember God's purpose for you and for our church, is that the end result of your life would be to your good and for His glory. That doesn't mean that things are always going to turn out like you think they should. It may seem that certain things are bad at times that really turn out to be good. But understand this, God will always take the things you're going through, the things this church has gone through in its past, and He works it out for our good and for His glory. So honor the past. Embrace the future. Don't forget to remember. Trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for that episode of You taking Elijah and having him to lead Elisha through the past history of Israel. To be reminded, because he was going to be facing, as we're going to see later, some great obstacles in his life and in his ministry. And yet, Father, You reminded him in this last day of Elijah's life of all of these faithful events that have happened. Lord, So often we're so caught up in the busyness of today, we forget what you've done, the miracles you've shown in our lives, how you spared us, how you saved us, how you rescued us, how you restored us. And Father, there may be some who are here this morning that they need that rescue. They never trusted by faith in Jesus as a Lord and Savior. And I pray that they would call out to you today, Jesus, help me. I'm drowning in the sea of life. I need you as my Savior. I pray, God, that they would cry out in their hearts to you and say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried in the tomb, and that he arose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and save me and help me to live for you all the days of my life. And Lord, if there's someone who's prayed something like that in their hearts this morning, I pray that they would come and they would profess that faith in Christ as Lord and Savior and follow through with believer's baptism. Lord, there are some of us who we need to come to Bethel. We need to return to you because we've drifted away from you. Lord, maybe it's because we didn't get treated the way we thought we should have been treated. Maybe somebody did something to us. Lord, I pray we would not let something someone else did to us keep us from you and worshiping you and being involved in your kingdom work through the church. Father, I pray that you would restore us as individuals and as the church to where we should be. Help us, Lord, to remember the past, to remember the things that you've done, to remember your great hand at work. And Father, I pray that you will lead us into what you have for us in the future. Father, I pray that we'll return to you. Father, I pray that you will also encourage us and strengthen us. Lord, we're going to face difficult days in the future. That's a given. That it happened for Jesus, and he said if it happened to him, it also is going to come to us. And so, Father, we know that those things are going to happen at some point, in some way, in some fashion in our life. Help us to be ready for those times, not to wait until they come, but to be walking with you and talking with you one day at a time, one moment at a time through life's journey. Father, may your blessings be upon us today as we honor the past and embrace the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our hymn of invitation, would you stand as we sing and would you come as the Lord lays on your heart? Seated for just a moment. Brother Johnny's going to come and share some announcements with us, as well as I think Awana's got some announcements. And then I'll come up, Johnny, when you have prayer to share a prayer announcement there.
All right, so I'm here with Kylie and Titus and Caitlin, and we just wanted to thank you for all of your support this year with Awana. And this Wednesday night is our last night, and we wanted to invite everyone in the church to come and just join us. We're going to be having our celebration service here in the sanctuary from 5:30 to 6:30, and then there will be food afterwards. The Purdoms are going to have barbecue, and so you can join us in the fellowship hall afterwards. So these three will be at each of the exits. If you have not signed up to eat with us after the celebration, then please put your name down on their clipboards, and that way we can get a good head count. So thank you all so much.
Matt, can you top that?
No, sir. She's a beauty and I'm the beast, so. That's my wife, just so in case you're wondering why I said that. But I also think we're going to need two new people to recruits to wear some Awana costumes next year, right? So be thinking about that. Also, thank you so much for those of you who came out and helped us with our cruising or donated or baked a good cookies or brownies. We had a great time. We'll figure out this week how much we made with that. But we had a great, awesome day yesterday. It kind of started off a little cloudy, but the sun came out. I think everyone had fun. But thank you again for all your support and helping that. And now we're moving on to the VBS kickoff, which is coming up soon. So please continue to pray about that. And we could still use some more volunteers to make sure we have enough to as that comes up at the end of May. But thank you again so much.
About the cruise-in, our bake sale, we have some goods left, some goodies, and they are in the fellowship hall. And so we would love for you to just go by the fellowship hall and grab you a goodie. We're not charging for them, but if you want to throw some money our way toward the youth and the children's department, we won't turn it down.
One announcement I need to make that's not in the bulletin is the Buildings and Grounds Committee is asked to meet today at 4 o'clock. So Buildings and Grounds today at 4 o'clock. And I would like to encourage each one of you. Each week we have our weekly prayer list. They're available outside out here, or you can certainly print one off. And we need to keep these close to us, because each week we have several brothers and sisters that are on this list that need prayer. Most of them have some sort of health issue, and we have those that may be recovering from surgery. And to my knowledge, we not every week, but we got someone in the hospital this week. So without reading the names, because I do not want to leave anybody off, I just want you to please pick one of these up and review it. Keep it close. They need their prayers each and every day. And does anyone else have an announcement they need to make?
We did not send this call out yesterday, but wanted to announce it to you today and just share with you to keep Diane and Ken in your prayers. There's more to what I can tell you. I can only tell you so much that they've allowed me to tell you. But just to keep everyone up to date, they said that the hospitalist was in yesterday, and basically his goal is to find a happy balance between the pain management and lucidity, which was somewhat better yesterday, to enable the oncologist to begin chemo. Hopefully Monday, they said, but that's going to require a port or a PICC line to do so. And if pain can't be controlled adequately, then possibly surgery on the spine, but that's not the preferred path given their dad's overall state. This was from Dan. They did say that if they get him through this, then there is hope to manage the myeloma at least for a while. And so wanted to encourage you to pray for him. And as I said, there's more to that that I can't share with you, but thank you.
No one else has an announcement. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, please. And most graciously, Heavenly Father, we just humbly come to you in prayer this morning. We just want to thank you for this day and this Lord's day, and for each person here and the special time that we can come together and worship and pray and share our prayer concerns. We want to lift up to in prayer each and every person that was on our prayer list. And as we do this each and every day, we just need to always continue to pray for our nation, pray for our church, and we certainly need to pray for each other. We just always need to remember, Heavenly Father, to be so ever thankful for the freedom, for the privilege of prayer, and for the power of prayer, and for you hearing our prayer. For it's Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen.